Welcome to our examination of the scriptures for the second Sunday of Lent. At this time, I ask you to take your Bibles and read from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 4a. We move from Genesis chapter 2 last week to Genesis chapter 12 this week, from Adam and Eve to Abram. There is much good news in all three readings today. Our first reading from Genesis should bring a smile to our faces, as today a covenant is established between God and Abram, the founder of the three major religions of the world. Chapters 10 and 11 include the genealogy of Noah's sons, Ham, Japheth, and in particular Shem, from whose tree Terah, the father of Abram, will descend. Terah takes his son Abram, his daughter-in-law Sarah, and grandson Lot from the land of Ur, intending to travel to Canaan, but settles in Haran. Some traditions tell us that Terah's son Nahor also undertook the journey. Chapter 12 begins immediately with the Lord speaking to Abram to go forth to the land which God will lead him to. Abram is 75 years old at the time of the calling, but immediately takes Sarah, Lot, and all their possessions and servants to the land God had promised. We must understand that Abram, as he is called, has his name changed by the Lord at age 99 to Abraham, when a covenant is established between Abram and the Lord. Abram and Abraham are actually two forms of the same name, meaning the Father is exalted. The additional HA is explained in folklore as making the base word Abram, meaning father, into Abraham, meaning the father of a host of nations, just as the Lord had promised in the covenant. For today's second reading, I ask you to turn to Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. Today's reading from the second letter to Timothy, who was Paul's pupil and co-worker, can be called the last will and testament of Paul. Paul is under house arrest in Rome, sometime between the years 60 and 62 AD, and will be imprisoned again under the Emperor Nero, and will be martyred in the year 67 AD. House arrests were lenient as compared to being thrown into a Roman prison. House arrest prisoners were allowed visitors and to receive and send mail. Timothy is working with the Christian community in Ephesus to help straighten out the community there, and eventually Timothy will go to Rome. Paul obviously knows his death can come at any time, and the Lord has named Timothy, through Paul, to take over for Paul. Paul, based on his own experiences, knows the road ahead for Timothy will not be easy, but also has confidence that the Lord will provide Timothy with the strength of the Holy Spirit to spread the good news. The point of this brief passage is really quite simple. The process of our salvation is a gift given us by God that is totally unmerited by anything we have said or done. Freely given to us because of God's love, we in turn, by our love, must freely cooperate with God and His plan for us. The Gospel for the second Sunday of Lent comes from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 to 9. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and do not be afraid." And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, "Do not tell the vision to anyone, until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord. The Transfiguration event is told in all three Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, with slight variations in each telling, depending on the audience to whom the story is being addressed. This event happens 6 days after Jesus' first prediction of his death and the discourse of the cost of being his follower. Jesus takes three of his disciples with him, Peter, James, and John, the same three that Jesus will pull apart from the remaining disciples in the garden after the Last Supper. They journey up a high mountain, which scholars have been unable to ascertain if it is a particular mountain like Mount Sinai. But in the culture of that time, a mountain signified the place where the gods dwelt. Moses, representing the law, and Elijah, representing the prophets, appear and converse with Jesus. Here, with all the power and divinity of the Son of God revealed to them, Peter wants to take control of the situation by erecting three tents. Peter does not realize that this is not the time for action, but a time to simply adore and worship what they are witnessing. The words of God in verse 5, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased, listen to him," are the same words heard at the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan. It is not the vision that makes them afraid. They would surely have been frightened before now. Many believe it is the words they have just heard that scares them. Words that make them realize the promise of old is now being fulfilled. The Messiah is here. But they will not fully understand or appreciate the significance of this until after the resurrection. Just as so many times we can't explain fully what we don't know fully. But all our questions will be answered when we reach our eternal reward. This is Deacon Mike reminding you to live the Word.